Welcome to our podcast. We're going behind the infamous blue signs of North Mississippi Health Services to connect you with important resources, hot topics, and information offered by our very own experts. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to check out Castos for more episodes.
Good afternoon, everyone. Appreciate everybody joining us today. We're going to have a discussion about how to secure your smartphone. This is a part of our ongoing cybersecurity lunch and learn series for this year. Just about every one that we're going to do or have done will be personal in nature. They're not going to be about HIPAA or, you know, healthcare related, that sort of thing. We try to do things that we can put information, tools, and tips into your hands that you can learn more about cybersecurity that you can take home, use with your family, friends, share with them, secure yourself at home, your devices, because we believe that those same devices that you have at home, whether it's your computer, whether it's your smartphone, whether it's your email, your personal email, those are exactly the same kind of devices that we have here at North Miss. And so if we can get you to understand good cyber hygiene there, you'll bring those good habits to work. So let's dive in. So first, I always love the why. Why do we care about securing our smartphone? Well, over the last, if you like me, growing up, we didn't have smartphones. They didn't exist. I remember my dad's very first phone, mobile phone. It was a big old bag with a huge antenna. No kidding, right? So you had to pull the antenna down. It had a little Velcro strap. So you strapped it to hold it down when you walk around with the big purse that you had to have it in. And then, of course, we had the car phones, right, that were embedded in the cars. Well, today, they're the size of our hand. They fit inside of our palm. And just about everybody has them. This chart right here shows, as of this year, look at the graphic of the age who has smartphones today, at least one. I mean, 18 to 29, 96% of that age group. I think it'd be probably more than that, but there's 18 to 29 is 96%. And then you get down to the seniors and you see the younger the crowd, the more likely they are to have a smartphone. So a majority of folks have a smartphone nowadays. So it's just one of those things we need to think about security on those. Here's another good number. The 69% of all children have a smartphone by the time they reach age 12. I remember when my son went to middle school, we did the parent-teacher conference, and we were in the gym, and this was a number of years ago. We were in the gym, and they told us, if your child doesn't have a smartphone, we encourage you to get them one. He was going into the sixth grade, and they said, because if something happens, it's going to be a lot easier for them to get a hold of you than us trying to get a hold of all the parents that are out there, plus the after school events and that sort of thing. So we encourage you to have your child not only have a smartphone, but bring it to school. Can you believe that? How has our world changed? Of course, they had rules around how they could use them and when they could use them at school. But children are now using smartphones as well. Everybody has one. 298 million is the estimated smartphones in just the United States alone. It's become our medium, right? And so it's no longer the desktop computer or the laptop computers of choice. We spend more time on our smartphones than we do on a computing, hardware kind of platform. One of the questions I get asked a lot, and this is even by IT people, which is more secure, Apple or Android? And I love this question because let me just be upfront and honest with you, right? Let me be transparent. I'm an Android guy. So, you're either an Apple person or you're an Android person. That's usually dynamically different people. You're usually a diehard Apple person or you're a diehard Android person. And some people are a little bit in between, but generally there's two camps here. And so arguments can be made on both sides. But when it comes to security, I try to stay agnostic on this question. And so we're going to look at, it's okay. I have an Apple, Phil, so I'm more secure than the Android folks. Apples are more secure devices, but are they? So let's talk about that for a second. Which one's more popular? Well, looking at this, Android by far outsells Apple. There's more globally. They're in the 80 to 90% market share Android does than iOS. So when you look at that from a security and risk perspective, I can tell you that when you have your landscape is huge, if you were a malware writer, somebody who writes malware for phones, or you were a hacker or a malicious actor, Which one do you go for? The one that has 13% or 15%? Or would you go one that has 80% chance of hitting something, right? And so that's what you look at. So it's not that Apple's more secure in how they build their phone, and I'm not arguing they don't have some better security measures, but that's not the reason that Apple's more secure. It's because they do a better job. It's because the footprint is lower, right? So as a bad guy, I'm not going to hit the Apple when I can get a bigger bang for my buck. It's kind of like Microsoft Windows, right? So Windows is a operating system that we use majority here at work, and I'm sure you at home, most people use Windows. So when you look at, there's other operating systems like Linux, there's a thing called Linux out there in Ubuntu, and there's some other Chrome OS, there's other operating systems for computers, and it's the same arguments you have on those as well. People say, well, Windows is very insecure. They get hacked a lot, they get hit, there's all kinds of viruses and malware and such. And it's not that they're more insecure, it's because the landscape, they own a majority of the landscape. So when you're looking at devices, and I'm not trying to sway you one way or the other, but when you're looking at a device, those are kind of things you take into account. Say, well, I have an Android device, so therefore I'm more likely to get hit because the landscape is bigger. I've got a Windows device, so I'm more likely, only because of the massive amount of, you know, malware is being written because of the landscape. So let's talk about basic. We're going to do some basic Android security. And if you want to get a little more advanced, we're going to do some advanced, and we'll get into the iOS or the Apple devices on how you secure those. So one of the basic security things you need to do with your phone is encryption. You really need to encrypt that phone. And most of Android, the newer Androids, all you need to do is set a pattern, a PIN or a password or whatever, and that kicks in the encryption on that phone. And it encrypts that phone and it locks it up. That should be one of the basic things you do, and that's pretty simple. You can just set a PIN, pattern, or password, and set that up. You can do that today. Taking it a little step further, setting up two-factor authentication for your Android device, and it shows right here, security, then you can sign into your Google account and turn on two-step authentication. This gives additional, one more layer, right? So you got to put in a code, not just, you know, pattern or whatever. So two different things, and just like we do with username and password, but you also have a PIN code that comes to your text message or something else. So sign up for multi-factor authentication if you've got an Android device, because it is a Google-based thing. Check that out. I put some stuff here on finding my device. You can go to Google Play Store, and there's a tool you can download onto your device. And you see there it says settings, security, turn on my device. So you can go there and turn that on so you can track your device if it gets stolen or it gets lost, that sort of thing. So when it falls into the wrong hands, then you'll be able to see where it goes, what's going on. And also you might be, some tools out there, when you download those tools, will also erase the thing. You can log into Google sometimes, or even Apple. When we get to Apple, we'll talk about that. But you can go in and at least track it or lock it remotely. Here's one I do, and I didn't put both, I just put one, but it's both of them. I always keep Bluetooth and Wi-Fi turned off on my phone at all times, and I turn them on only when I need them. So yeah, it's kind of a pain sometimes, because if you got a lot of Bluetooth speakers, which I do at home. I love Bluetooth. I got Bluetooth in my car. It's a great technology and I love it. It's very convenient. But I just get in, I'll just slide down my phone and hit the button, and just immediately turns it on and then picks up those Bluetooth devices that I have. But I keep them off so that I don't accidentally be walking around Starbucks or the airport or wherever, and there's all kinds of Bluetooth vulnerabilities out there. And so I just like to keep Bluetooth and Wi-Fi turned off until I need it. And then when I turn it on, then I have it set to where it doesn't just automatically connect to something. I have to pick which one I'm connecting to. That's just an extra security layer that you can take to protect those devices. So those are some basic Android security things that everybody should be doing anyways. So I'd highly encourage you to do those. If you need more details, let us know. So now let's talk about some advanced features that you could do. Let's get a little crazy on some of these. Fingerprint unlock, right? If you got a phone that has the ability to do fingerprinting, I mean, that's really the next gen, right? Way to do that. Using an authenticator app, especially if you have Microsoft. I know we have a Microsoft authenticator app we use here at work. If you're not signed up for that, you can do that for your two-factor or multi-factor authentication. It's a little bit more secure because let's think about it. One of the ways that multi-factor works or two-step authentication works, whether it's your bank or whether it's work or whatever, is they'll send you a text message. You can sign up to get a text message or an email. And that's well and good. That's still security. But if somebody has access to your phone or access to your phone records or your logs, or whatever, they can get into your text message. Whereas this way, with an authenticator app, you got to log into that app. And then, you know, it's a little bit better security there. Here's another feature that's come out a couple of years ago that I think is kind of neat. I've not used it, honestly, transparency, I've not used this, but this on-body detection. So you can turn this on, this feature on your phone, and as long as it's near you, then you know it's going to work. If it gets too far away from you, once you put it down, walk away, then you know it locks, right? And it locks your phone. Probably a good feature to do. I'm going to play with that myself, see how that works. Trusted places. This is another one that I haven't used. Again, these are advanced features that it would take a little bit getting used to. But once you turn this feature on, then you know it learns certain areas like your home, your work office, whatever. And so once you're in those locations, then it can set to, if you're like me, I've got my PIN code set and my pattern code set that my phone locks after, I don't remember, 10 seconds. It's really quick. It seems like 1 second. It locks really fast. But you know, if you're at home or whatever, and this is your only phone, I don't have a home landline phone. I haven't had one for years. This is my primary phone. Then having the phone just unlocked would be nice to have. Well, this is a feature you can do to allow that because you're in a safe zone. You know, so something to check out. So now let's talk about some basic Apple security features. Obviously, again, we talked about setting a strong passcode on your iPhone. Something that's real basic need to do, but Apple of course has Face ID or Touch ID. So they've got some additional security features that Android is still playing around with, but I would definitely look at doing one of those. Turn on Find My iPhone, just like with Android, same thing. And if you have an iPhone, of course you're an iPhone person, you're an Apple person, you know, you have the iStore, the Apple Store, right? But you have your Apple account, you can log in iCloud. Anyways, you log into iCloud and there's so many things you can do by tracking that phone, by locking it, by doing a lot of remote stuff. It's got a lot of great features in Apple and the iCloud to be able to do that. So making sure that not only do you turn on tracking of your iPhone, but also keeping that ID secure. It is the thing that holds all of your information, your store, your music, all of that stuff. So make sure that you keep that secure. Don't just let anyone have your ID. Turn on I duplicated that, didn't I? Sorry about that. That's probably a good feature to do twice. Make sure you have that on there. Okay, so that's some basic. Let's get into some crazy Apple advanced stuff here. So looking at controlling the app tracking. So we're going to have a slide in a minute about apps, right? So right now we're talking about device and an operating system security. But anyway, in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit about the apps that you download and how we make sure those are secure. But this right here says all apps must receive permission before tracking your apps or tracking across apps and websites, blah, 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 whatever. So this is something that's within Apple itself. So controlling your Apple tracking, or app tracking. So apps will ask you sometimes, but of course, who does that, right? A lot of times we just click through those features. Well, Apple actually has a way to help control some of that tracking. I would check into that feature on your Apple device as well. I know these aren't fun, but reviewing the privacy practices of the apps you download before you download them, right? You go into there, the developer always has a document there and talks about their privacy practices and that sort of thing, what data is being collected, etc. So review some of that stuff before you download these apps and start using them. Apple does a pretty good job in their app store of vetting some of these stuff. But again, there's legal stuff that says, hey, if you download this, you're allowing us to do XYZ. Just check that out beforehand. And then of course, using sign-in with Apple whenever you can. I know you've seen that probably on Windows devices and on Android, and Apple has the same thing where you can just sign in using your Apple account. That using that will help, it ties in with that two-factor authentication we talked about, allows you to use that Apple MFA or two-factor authentication. All right, now these are gonna just like really go over the top. These are, I don't care if this is an Android or an Apple, these are just some good security practices you should really do when you're talking about whether it's your phone or with smartphone or whether it's your iPad or a tablet of any sort. You should really read all requirements before downloading an app. And I know this is hard to do. I know it's not fun. You're sitting there on a Saturday afternoon, you want to play a game and it looks cool, or you saw some advertisement on Facebook and it looks like a neat little thing and you just want to click and hit download and let's start downloading. But a lot of times these apps have went through legal to get permission to do things like, look at your private stuff, collect information off your phone, and you're saying yes when you say that. So definitely read all of the requirements from these third parties to see what you're signing up for. Because one of the things they do is they will get permission from you in the terms and agreements whenever you're downloading it to send you email. And you say, well, how do they know my email? Well, because it's on your phone. They can collect all kinds of information off of your phone. And then you're getting spammed, you're getting phone calls, you're getting text messages. And people go, how did they get my phone number? You gave them permission to use it and to sell it. And so read those permissions. And a lot of times they're not real long. So just check them out. Check it out before you download that app. A good question to ask is it reasonable? When you're reading that permission list, just think about it. You know, does this game, I'm doing this game, does it really need to be accessing my social media account? I mean, why would the game need to do that? Why does this game need to be accessing my contacts? I seen that one time when I was downloading an app and the app had nothing to do with my contact list. Why does it want to get a hold of my contact list on my phone? Well, I know why it wants to do it. They want to go spamming my friends and family, right? They want to be talking to them. And you're given permission to do that. And so a lot of times we go, how did they get my number? Well, maybe it wasn't you. Maybe one of your friends and family downloaded the game and gave them permission to pull off your number or your email off of your phone or their phone. And so you can blame your friends and family for that if you want. Number three. Check the apps installed already on your device, right? So especially Android, I put on there how to do it for Android, but review the apps you already got on there for Apple or Android. You know, you can always go back and go review the settings on there. You can review the permissions. You can review the privacy practices and all of that stuff. So go check out what you've got already on there. Some of them, if you go to the, like on this right here, you go to the permissions section, you download, go to the settings and then go to permissions. You can actually change some of the permissions even after you downloaded it. So even though you've agreed to something, they're natively, you know, by default turned on, you can go in and change some of those settings. So just go, just basically, if you've done this, if you do this a couple of times, you'll get kind of used to it and you'll learn how to do it and it won't be so hard. It's not really that difficult. And after you've done it a couple of times, you're like, oh, okay, I got it. Now I know where this is at. And you'll be able to do it for all your apps. And you go, yeah, let me go check this one. And then every time you download the one, you'll know exactly where it's at. Step four is another big one. This one's just uninstall unneeded apps, right? Lord, we all have clutter, don't we? I mean, it's we're cleaning out clutter in IT, right? We're cleaning out clutter at my house, in my closet, every season, you know, time to clean up. You know, spring cleaning, it's perfect time right now. We're spring cleaning. So I'd encourage you to go through your phone and look at apps. You know, obviously the more apps you have, the more resources your phone is being consumed. It's consuming that much resource. And so it's slowing it down, eating all those resources, but it's also a point of entry. The less apps you have, the less apps, the less likely you are to be, you know, hit with some sort of malware because there's less entry points. So if it's not needed, get rid of it. Number five, and this one right here, we shouldn't have to say it, but we'll say it over and over and over. It doesn't matter if you're not on a computer or not, your phone has email. Don't open emails or attachments from people that you don't for 100% sure know. And just because it says it's from Aunt Betty or Uncle Bob, right? You really look at that email and make sure that really come from those folks. Because when you click that email, click that link or click that attachment in that email, you could be opening malware onto your mobile device as well. So I was working on my mother-in-law's iPad not too long ago. Man, that thing was so infected, it wasn't funny, but she clicks on everything that pops up. You know, everything's real. Click, 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 click. I wish I got paid a penny for every time she clicks something. I'd be pretty rich right now. But so be careful about clicking and opening attachments. Number six, stay up to date with latest security patches. A lot of these apps One of the things you need to look at when you're looking at the permissions, a lot of them will ask. Sometimes it's an opt-in, sometimes it's an opt-out. But a lot of them will ask, can we update this app automatically? I would say yes, please just let the app update its security patches automatically. There's really very little reason why a normal user wouldn't just let that system, your device, your phone, your computer, whatever, let it go out and get those security updates and patches and update your systems. Sometimes those apps will do it as an opt-in, but make sure that you have the latest. And even that, and now when we're talking about security patches and those kind of things, also think about versioning. So whether or not you're on your hardware, so if you're talking about an iPhone or an Android phone, or you're talking about the operating system, or even an application, the app on the phone, you need to look at the version itself. So, you know, if you're on a Samsung Galaxy 1.0, probably should upgrade, right? Because Samsung's not patching and upgrading. Apple's not patching and upgrading, you know, Apple 1.0, whatever it is, right? First Apple, Apple 1, right? Apple 2, Apple 3, whatever we're on now. They're not upgrading those anymore. They're not putting out security patches for the older versions. Usually about 3, maybe 4 behind is the most they do. So try to stay up to, you know, 2 or 3, but no more than 2 or 3 behind on the versioning. They do the most patches and updates with the latest versions. So there's your excuse for your spouse to get you a new phone at Christmas if you need one. Just say it's a security risk not to get a new phone or a new iPad. And the last one here. So number 7, install and use reputable malware, anti-malware stuff on your device. You know, here's a thing that happens. And so just so you don't freak out and go, oh my God, now we got to worry about our smartphones and our tablet stuff. Yeah, there is some malware out there, but let me just say that every year in the cybersecurity community, there's always this talk that this is the year for mobile, right? This is the year that mobile is going to get crashed. Mobile is going to be the one that gets all the malware and all the attention. And every year it really hasn't happened. And when you look at the numbers that we kind of showed earlier, and when we talk about, you know, the numbers of people who have a phone, the amount of time we spend on our phones versus, say, a computer. I know at work we are, obviously, but most folks after work, on the weekends, and even at work, we got it in our pockets now, right? The amount of time we spend on our mobile devices, you would think that that has become the surface and the platform. It just hasn't materialized just yet. But that being said, it's coming, and they are still developing malware for smart devices. But they're just not quite there yet. But I would not hesitate to go ahead and a lot of this malware, anti-malware software that's out there is free. In fact, I'm just going to use this as an opportunity to plug our website. If you go to cybersecurity.nmhs.net, cybersecurity.nmhs.net, we have some, you know, one of my pet peeves is people paying for antivirus and malware software. It's free. But the federal government requires that they give it to you as an individual for free, not the paid version that companies get, but the free version. And by the way, it's just as good for the free version. It's a federal mandate that they give that to you for free. On our website, there's some links to some that we recommend. There's obviously more than those, but there's some out there. You can go check that out on our website. But it's the same way with smartphones. There's some good anti-malware software out there. You don't have to go spend money on it. You can go out there and download some anti-malware for your smartphone or your tablets and keep those protected. So those are some additional security measures that you can take to make sure your device is secure. I love this quote, mobile security is the past. It's not just security, right? So trying to separate mobile versus non-mobile stuff, really, we're to the point where we just don't do that anymore. It's just plain security. So I'm going to stop here and just say, you know, again, our website, cybersecurity.nmhs.net. We have a blog, fishmarket.nmhs.net, which is where we try to post some blog posts, you know, every week or so. And in there, we have stuff about phishing. We talked about some of those emails. Go check that out. And at any time, you can email me at palexander@nmhs.net for more questions. Hopefully, you found today's Lunch and Learn helpful and got at least one or two tips you can go out there and use. And we appreciate you joining us.
I will say too, one thing I thought of while you were talking about getting rid of the unused apps is that Apple and possibly Android as well has a feature that's come out in one of the most recent updates to their operating system. It's called offload unused apps, and it will actually go through and get those apps off of your phone if you haven't used them within a certain period of time. Just puts them back up into the cloud. The app itself is still available. If you ever wanted to use it again, you just download it from the cloud. But that's something that Apple has done recently that's a good security feature.
That is a good security feature. Yeah, there's an app that I use that all it does is it tracks utilization of apps. And it's a free Android app, and it tracks those utilization and does a very similar thing. But what it does is it produces that for me every month and says, hey, you haven't used this app this whole month. Do you still want to use it? Yes or no? And you just go through and click, and then it will remove them. Just kind of a secondary level for you. So you kind of automates that, you know, that reminder for you. So there's a lot of apps out there. Don't feel bad about going checking them out. Use automation to help you out. So, you know, when you first buy a device, whether it's a laptop, computer, or a desktop computer, a tablet, or a phone, they natively come with all kinds of what I call bloatware, right? Just a lot of apps that the apps companies paid Android or paid Apple to let them put on your device. And so you natively come with those. So it's a great question on which ones are really important, should I keep, and which ones are not. And it's a difficult question. I'm going to have Ann and Russ, two of my team members that are on the call today, I'm going to have them take this as an action item, and I appreciate the question. What I will do is I'll make sure we get back to you specifically, but we'll also post this as an article on our website. Which apps should I keep and which ones, how will I know which apps are important? That's a great question. And so we'll get back to you, Gail, on that one, because it's kind of hard to just say right off the top of our head. Some apps are very important, but Apple, there's some, Android has others, but we'll give you a list of those criteria, right? Of the very basic ones you should keep, and the rest of them, just it'd be up to you whether or not you want to keep them or not. Great question though. Okay. Well, I think we'll end it here. Appreciate everybody joining us today. Check out our website, shoot me an email if you have any other questions, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for listening. We're here to support you and are so glad you chose to spend time with us today. We hope this podcast helped you understand what Connected feels like. Please don't forget to check back at Castos for more episodes.